Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. Today is Milwaukee Ballet Day. 80 structures in 20 locations around Milwaukee are festooned with 2,500 yards of ribbon and 100 point shoes. It's the beginning of the company's 50th anniversary year, but it is also a very big day in the overall history of the company. I met Artistic Director Michael Pink to learn more, and, well, I'll let him tell you where we are.
We are standing in the Milwaukee Ballet's new home, the Baumgartner Center for Dance, here at 128 North Jackson Street in the Third Ward. So when you drive down Jackson Street, you will be able to see our splendid building standing right in front of you. We are adjacent to the ICC car park. Many of your listeners will know where that is. And so we're really now a major part of that Third Ward.
Yeah, you're right across the road from the Summerfest grounds. You're next to the Italian Community Center. You're sort of anchoring the southern end of the Third Ward.
I think
now.
We are. And you know, always the interesting thing is that we're in discussions with the ICC to allow us to purchase this land. We were saying there is only one Milwaukee Ballet. We are a unique entity. We're also a family orientated entity. And of course, the Italian Community Center is that. And the area here is filled with, I mean, I believe this is the she fashion area of Milwaukee, where we're implanting many, many wonderful, wonderful young people who are very stylish and beautiful. So perfect.
So the land that this is sitting on, before we get into the actual gorgeousness of the building itself, the land was purchased from the Italian Community Center.
It was indeed, yes. It was purchased from them. The land was remediated because many people will know this was, some of this land was reclaimed land. It was also the home for the goods yards. It had a wonderful old round table, roundhouse, I believe it's called, for trains that would come across the river, the old iron bridge, that swing bridge that's sat there. That was the entry into here. So this land has a rich history. And in excavating and putting our foundations, and we found the roundhouse. So there was a little bit of an archaeological dig going on there and bits coming up out of the ground that was fascinating.
Did you save any of those?
I believe there was one large piece of wood that one of the contractors, who was a railway enthusiast, I believe they saved that.
So how much space have you gained by moving from your old place on, was National and Fifth,
Sixth? Fifth and National. Yeah. We've doubled, more than doubled our space. We had about 25,000 usable square foot in our old building. This is 52 plus thousand square foot. And for fans of Doctor Who and the TARDIS, I refer to this building as the TARDIS. When you look at the front of this building from Jackson, you think, oh, it's a nice, modest building. Once you step inside, it keeps growing and growing and growing.
One of the things I noticed when we first walked in, this rehearsal studio on your left, as you walk in, there's the beautiful entryway and you've got staircase going up. But this rehearsal room alone is about three times the size of your rehearsal room, because I've done any number of interviews in that old rehearsal hall.
Yes, yes. Well, you're absolutely right. We have seven studios here. In our prior location, we had four. Two were very small, one was very large, and one was somewhere in the middle. So this is the main thing, to be able to increase the square footage of the building to allow for more dance studios. So these studios are about 58 foot by about 49 foot. This one we're looking at now, Bonnie, has a retractable glass wall. So the idea is that we could move the wall away, and then we have a wonderful event space into our Hertzfeld atrium and from the community studio, so we can connect the two spaces. The main goal with this building was to make sure that it's very modular, that we can move things around, that we don't get stuck into any one particular way. And we want to really make sure that as many people in the community can come and use the space if it's available, so other arts groups, nonprofits might want to come and use the space. We'd love to make sure that it's something for everybody, if that's at all possible. Having said that, we do have an extensive amount of programming that is from our old building that it's coming here, obviously. And then with that, there is some expansion with some of those programs. And because we have seven very large studios, the size of each class has the ability to grow where necessary from there. All new pianos in the building. So our live music, commitment to live music. I've seen a lot of very smiley pianists in the last few days. Very excited.
Chamber music. I hear chamber music in your future. Do you have a black box here? Do you have the idea that you're going to be able to do performances in that way?
We do. Where we're walking now, Bonnie, is through what we call the public area of the building. Obviously, we have security in the building, and we've tried to build areas where families and parents who are waiting for children or guests can find little quiet areas where they can sit, they can connect to the internet, and they can do their work. And adjacent to this space, we have our what we're calling our performance studio, Studio B. This is the We Energies performance studio. I'm going to walk you into this very dark, dark place. Follow me.
All right.
Into Studio B. I'm going to touch a panel on the wall, which will allow me to access the lights. As you can imagine, the entire building is LED lighting. We're now standing in our Studio B, which is a studio, and then we'll convert very easily into a performance venue. We can seat probably about 180, 200 people in this space. Again, the seating is designed that it can be taken out, put back in. David Grill, who's a wonderful lighting designer I've worked with for the years, designed this entire space for us. So it has very high-tech equipment, and very efficient equipment in the space.
So you have a full lighting booth up there. You've got some wing space.
Yes,
we have wing
space. We can bring in side lighting, which is used a lot in dance. We have a new grand piano in here. I tested the acoustics myself, and surprisingly good, because it's an efficient building. It's not built as a concert hall or as a theater. So it's a very handsome space. It has a mauve color on the wall, so it doesn't become too oppressive. And it's a very exciting space. And again, it's a very large, large space. It's about 58 foot by 40 foot of performance space.
So do you see that some of the ballet performances might take place here, some of the smaller works?
We built this with a view that our school and our second company could use this as a performance space and a recital place. Yes, our dance company, they do their own benefit performances. I can see, absolutely, time permitting, that we would do a tailor-made presentation in this space, and it could be literally anything. With the technology we have here, we will have projection eventually. It could be a wonderful place for experimentation. And I do believe that we could try out things here, prepare them. Everything's on a computer these days. So we could prepare them, we could program them, and then we could take them into either of our venues. So it could become a very exciting way to buy some time to be more creative.
I know one of the things you and I have talked about over the years that has been frustrating is that you make all this effort to create these wonderful works and you get four performances. Oh. And so I would think something like this, while you wouldn't be able to put Snow White in here, but you could put something in here that gives people more of an opportunity to perform after they've worked so hard to create the ballet.
Absolutely. And just as a space to create things specifically for the space, that's going to be the interesting thing. As those people who come and see our Genesis competition and our work at the Paps, they know it becomes a little bit more minimalist, less big scenery and costumes, but it is more about the actual content of the work. Very high ceilings in here, as you can see. So there is space to bring in some scenic elements if we wish. We always use those during rehearsal. So I have two studios together, Studio A and B, that will provide us with the ability to be able to rehearse. So we can walk across into Studio A. There are three adjoining doors between the two studios. And we're going to open the door and move into Studio A, which will be the company's main rehearsal space. And this, again, is a very light, large room. The sun is streaming through the windows. We have Jim Shields of HGA Architects firm has designed this building for us. Wonderfully high vertical windows, very differing widths, and very, very high door frames, so that there's a great sense of space, enjoying the space. Each of these windows has electric blinds, so you can control the amount of light into the space. There is technology in each studio in terms of our audio. we wanted to make sure we brought the 21st century in and left
the 20th.
So all those video machines and those VHS things and those things
we've been... What are those, Michael?
Those are things we've been trying to find wires to connect together for the last 20 years.
Yes, because there's a TV screen, so I'm assuming
studio,
there could be classes taught remotely.
Absolutely, these are all smart televisions. Everything's connected to the network, so we can pull information from our server or from the World Wide Web, and we can transmit as well. There will be a camera in here, so we could stream things live from here. So this very much is similar to the large studio we had in our prior place, and it means when we are staging Peter Pan for the end of our 50th celebration in May at the PAC, we will do all our flying here in the studio. So there will be the Darling family and Peter flying in this building in May. I'm very excited that we have support space, which we never had in our old building, so we're walking into a service area. On the right-hand side of here is our costume storage. We can now bring much more into the building, scenic elements, access for costumes and for our wardrobe. All becomes much easier. We have production office. Every square inch of this building has really been very carefully thought out. There is a need for it. There is no excess in this building. We really are providing what we've researched as a need for the organization.
How big is the main company right now? How many dancers?
Our main company is 25. Our second company varies between really about 18 and 20. We have a wonderful, exciting new intake of second company, and indeed in the main company we have 6 new dancers. And I have to say, Bonnie, I'm very excited. Very, very lovely, 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 beautiful people, very nicely trained. And that's always very nice for the artistic staff to be working with. Folks that are well trained and ready to come on stage. So I'm really looking forward to presenting them Coppelia, which is our first production. And Coppelia was the production the company did in 1970. So we are starting our 50th anniversary with a repeat. So let's go back to the beginning. We'll celebrate those 50 years by starting where it all began 50 years ago with a production of Coppelia, which is a classic family ballet. Lots of wonderful costumes, music, exciting.
That's the one with the doll, right?
That is indeed. It's based on an E.T.A. Hoffman story. And it's just a lot of fun, a lot of dancing. We've just come up the stairs and we're now standing in the second corridor. Again, we have just a wall of window out to the third ward.
It's beautiful. Oh, I mean, just space to breathe.
Yes, space to breathe. And again, it's very refreshing to be in a building with everything clean, everything working so far,
You've been working on getting this building put together for a long time. This has been a dream and now a reality. What does it feel like to actually walk in the door and say, wow, we're here?
You know, it's interesting how when you set yourself a goal in the process and you want to start working on something, you're very excited and you move through it. As it becomes a reality and then it becomes a major time-consuming effort because you're needed to be there all the time, you're needed to be able to think about everything on every level, answer questions quickly, etc. There's a point where I think you just get over it. You think, okay. It's a little bit, actually, the analogy is when I spend so much time creating these major productions, there's a point at which, as once it goes into the theater and the audience is about to come through the door, I sit back and go, ugh.
I've done what I can.
But I feel like there's nothing more I can do at this point. It's somebody else's responsibility. And this building feels very much like that. It's been 2009, 2010, we first began discussions about needing a new home, looking for a home, going through many, many sort of creations and thoughts and processes and discussions with other groups. And here we are, 2019, having achieved this and achieved it very spectacularly. And the first part of our campaign, our $26 million campaign, was to build this building and make it happen. We have delivered on that successfully. We have done this on budget. We've done it, as always, with the great thought and efficiency. And we're very, very soon we'll be launching phase two of our campaign, which is the public side of it, when we really allow, and we hope that the public will want to come and be a part of this. And we have two major streams to our phase two campaign, which is a give back to Milwaukee component and a new works component. These were always part of our campaign, but they really focus on a way that we can self-fund to be able to reach out into the community, bring the community here for us to go and work in the community, and to continue to the commitment to new work, ultimately to provide a new nutcracker for the company, because that's the next major thing. It's nearly 20 years old. So there's this continual evolving, and I really do believe that this building will be a testament to the organization, the people who've worked here all these years, certainly my 16 years of hard work and focus, and which I've loved every second of and I'm not done yet, but really to elevate the organization within the city, locally, nationally, and internationally. This will help me recruit more people to the organization. It will help us do more. And I really hope that we will continue to be a major asset to Milwaukee. This building says a lot about the city, the people in the city, and a major thing that it really represents is the commitment from our donors. And without Donald and Donna Baumgartner making a substantial lead gift for this building, it would never have come out of the ground, and it has come out of the ground extraordinarily quickly. We're really now in the 14th month from breaking ground,
and we're standing here in something that's essentially finished.
Absolutely, essentially finished. And again, that is a big shout out to Catalyst Construction for their commitment to us as an organization and their commitment to the project. And as they keep saying, they're probably only ever going to build a building like this once. So it's kind of a unique experience. So we've all been involved in the discovery of it. So I feel very proud, very fortunate to be here at this time and with all the people who've committed to making this a reality. Milwaukee is an exciting place.
Michael Pink, congratulations on a building well built. And here's to all the wonderful stuff that's going to happen because of this and in this place.
Thank you, Bonnie. And here's to the next generation, the many generations who will get to enjoy this building, and it will continue to be a place of great creativity and education.
Michael Pink is the artistic director of the Milwaukee Ballet. The Baumgartner Center for Dance officially opens to the public today, and there is a link to more information at WUWM.com.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.